Good morning. When Jesus taught his disciples using the parable of the talents, he did not say, "Well done, good and perfect servant." He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Welcome everyone here and to everyone joining on Zoom as we come together in our journey to being good and faithful servants of Christ. I have a couple of announcements. There is another opportunity for us to begin or continue with reading through the Bible. There is very good information in your bulletin about two program choices for doing this. Harbor of Joy was honored yesterday to host the funeral service for Dottie Bergeson. Her family did a beautiful job of celebrating her life, and several of our members helped to serve the meal. As well, our church secretary, Lynn Ann's extra work and thoughtfulness really helped the day go smoothly. Thank you to all. And an announcement about announcements. The goal for announcement time is to keep it short and sweet, so more time can be allowed for worship. Information received to Lynn Ann by Wednesday noon each week can be included in the bulletin before it's printed. Otherwise, we'll plan to keep this announcement time to bring items to the congregation that are unforeseen and can't be included before printing. Is there anything I've missed? Fortunately, they have been on the internet. So that's one good thing, right? Right. Let's take a little time to pass the peace and greet each other.
Good morning. Yeah. There you are. Good morning. Yeah, I was just kind of looking at that. Oh, so we.
Up to a Hesima and.
So we don't do a. Oh, okay. Yeah, I see.
Just
so,
one more.
So this is at the end. Okay. And they still want us to come up then, right?
Oh, we practiced it.
All right. We will ask you to take your seats, please. And we will continue with our call to worship.
Good morning. I hope everybody can hear me. Our call to worship this morning comes from the Lutheran Book of Worship. It says, "Almighty God, you have filled us with the new light of the world who became flesh and lived among us. Let the light of your faith shine in all that we do. Through your Son, Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, let us join in humble admiration as we, together worship our Lord. Our responsive reading today comes from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 5 through 8. This is what God the Lord says. I will take hold of your hand. And a light for the Gentiles. And to release from the dungeon those who sit in the darkness.
Thank you, Terry. I would just like to ask Lynn Cresswell to come forward. We are going to ask her to give us an idea of their expectations, plans, for the trip that she and Patty will be going soon back to Tanzania. Patty couldn't be here today, but we are fortunate to have Lynn. She's going to share with us a little bit. Pastor Winkowicz is going to have a prayer, and then he will take over the rest of the service.
First of all, I want to thank everybody for their years of support and prayer. The second year I went to Tanzania was in 2010, and I did a deep dive into 2 Corinthians 9. People are blessed who bless us. Not everybody can go, but you can be senders and the blessings fall back on you. You have no idea how many people you have reached. Until we get to heaven, we won't know that. So anyway, our trip this year, it's our 10th anniversary of Next Life Foundation. We have a group of students who are graduating both from the Taylor School and from the Carpentry School. So we'll celebrate that the first weekend we were there. The second weekend is our 10th anniversary celebration. They don't celebrate. They do celebrate, but they don't celebrate the way we celebrate. They go all day long. And they have, and it's something very, they treasure it. We do certificates, just little pieces of paper that tell the kids that they graduated, that they completed a project, they completed the school, and you would think that you gave them $1 million because they don't get that recognition. So thank you again for your blessings of prayers and financial support. We really, truly appreciate it. And if anybody ever wants to go, sign up.
Well, I have the privilege of serving on the board of Next Life, and so it just happens that I'm here preaching today, so I'd be happy to pray for Lynn anytime, but I'm especially happy to do that today. And so would you join with me and we'll pray. Father God, thank you for Lynn and her willingness to serve you and her heart of love for the people from Tanzania. Lord, she's been there from the beginning, and now she gets to go for the celebration of 10 years. And I ask that you would bless her, that you would light her way. I pray for traveling mercies. I pray for patience for her and good flights and good connections. And I thank you, Father, that she is able to go. Pray for Patty as well, and ask that you would watch over them and guide them and keep them safe and bring them home. But in the meantime, Lord, let them be a blessing. Thank you for Next Life, what you are doing in an amazing way through this small organization. So, Lord, here is your servant. See her, bless her, take her, and bring her home. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. She warned me she would cry, and it's nice that she doesn't lie. Well, this morning, it's a joy to be with you. I was really looking forward, actually, to hearing someone read the beginning section here in the bulletin. I thought maybe you would read that, and I thought maybe, you know, did you read that? It's pretty amazing. Pre-Lent begins roughly 70 days before Easter, including a three-week preparatory period before Ash Wednesday, the start of Lent. These three Sundays have been named by the church, and there are some delightful words there for you. I can pronounce them in Spanish, Septuagésima. I have no clue how you say that in English. The Sexagésima, 60 days before, and the Quinquagésima, 50 days before. I think that's really interesting, and I'm going to stick with my 40 days of Lent. But you know, it was interesting. That was recognized at the Council of Nicaea in 325 that we just celebrated there. People from all walks of the Christian life were there. And you had Baptists and Pentecostals. You had the Pope, and you had the Patriarch. And of course, the Nicene Creed, and from which we take the Apostolic Creed, was formulated there. These are the things we believe. And so when you think of that, and you think of, well, why do we have 40 days of Lent? It really is because a bunch of the church fathers, the first followers of Christ, said, this will be a good time to refocus and put us back on track. So that's what it's there for. So this morning, I want to begin with a scripture reading, and that is from Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading the whole chapter. Of course, everything is based upon that first verse, which says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And most of us know that verse. But I am going to use the Hebrew name that is for God here. And of course, I'm going to do that because I'm going to be talking about that this morning in the message. So we're going to read the whole thing. All right. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Elohim was hovering over the face of the waters. Then Elohim said, let there be light, and there was light. And Elohim saw the light, and it was good, and Elohim divided the light from the darkness. Now, if I continued with Elohim the whole time, it would get annoying to you, so I'm going to switch to our English word, God. And God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathering together the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning of the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast on the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you decided to create this earth, and that you decided to create us. Lord, as we look at this world, it is a massive mess. As we look, and Lord, if we look at the whole planet, we've made a mess of it. And Lord, if we look at our own country, we've made a mess of it. And Lord, it's messy. And we get smaller, Lord, and we talk about our state, and we talk about our town, and we talk about our church, or even our homes. Often, Lord, it's messy. It is messy because of sin, and we know that. So, Father, I pray today, I pray for the people here today, and I ask that you would bless them. And I pray for the people that live in this beautiful state, and I pray for the people in this country. And, Father, I pray for the people in every country around the world, because you made them all in your image. And Father, today I pray especially for three places. One for Iran and the tremendous suffering going on and death there. Lord God, would you do something? But we can only say, let your will be done, because we don't understand how it can be so bad. Lord, I pray for the friends that I have in Venezuela. And Lord, I pray for them, and they're rejoicing that they think maybe life will change. And I pray too, Lord, for the people that aren't happy about the way that happened, because Lord, you made them all. And Lord God, I pray for Tanzania this morning and the arrival and the celebration there near Kilimanjaro in Baguni. And Lord, as Patty goes and as Lynn goes, would you bless them and the graduates and use them for your honor and glory. For our time now here this morning, Lord, I thank you and ask that you would bless our time together. Help me to speak well, clearly, and may you have a message today that you want heard, and may it be heard and remembered. May thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So what are you going to study and learn in 2026? Have you thought about it? Have you got a goal? Now everybody, you know, rolls up to January 1st and whoa, we're going to have all of these things that we're going to do in 2026. We're not going to eat sugar. We're not going to drink coffee. Oh no, that's not going to happen. So we make all these rules for ourselves. Oh, and now on January 1st, I'm going to, and it said really that gyms, you never want to go to a gym, regular gym goers. My son is a big gym goer and he says, I don't go from January 1st until the 14th because all those knuckleheads go in there and they just don't know what they're doing, and by 2 weeks and they're done. But what are you going to learn in 2026? Have you set a goal? What do you want to learn about God spiritually? Do you have a spiritual goal? Because that you should have. Now, it doesn't have to be perfect, but you need to choose something. So what did I choose for 2026? Well, I chose in 2026 to study 52 names of God. Now, there are more than that appear in the Bible, but there are 52. And so I'm going to study 52. And wherever I'm preaching, if I'm preaching that Sunday, that's the message is going to contain that. Now, if it's on Christmas, it will also include the Christmas story. It's fine. But that's what I'm doing. So last week, I preached, and I preached on El. That's generally translated as God the Father, and He is our Father. And so this week, the next one is Elohim, God Creator. Now, why is it God Creator? And I'll explain that in a minute. But Elohim, you know, we have names that our parents give us. They may or may not describe who we are. Sometimes we don't like them. And I know a lot of people that use their second name or their first name. My mother named me, my mom and dad chose my name Daniel after the Old Testament prophet. So that's a pretty good thing to do, I guess. I've always liked my name, it's fine. And even better, I moved to Latin America and it works there too. I didn't have to change it at all. The only problem is if I visit Israel, they look at me and they speak Hebrew to me, and that doesn't work because I don't do that. But I'll bet some of you had nicknames, don't you? Now, we have pet names between husband and wife. Sometimes we share those, sometimes we don't. Some people have nicknames. And oftentimes they describe people. Now, other times they don't. You know, somebody might look at me. You might call me Baldy. That would be good. That would be descriptive. But if you called me Harry, that'd be pretty funny if that was my name. But I'm not. But oftentimes names do describe, and Elohim describes God. Now, in the Bible, God is called by many names, but the most often used is Elohim, most often used. It can be translated a number of ways, depending on the verbs that go with it, mighty, powerful, divine, supreme, great, but the most common is God. But the first, and so it appears more than 2,500 times in Scripture. And so, of course, the basis of it is El, and then when you add Ohim, it means literally gods, plural. Now, that can really get you going, but just stay with me. It is amazing that the very first mention in the entire Bible contains the possibility of the Trinity, which is later revealed by Christ in the New Testament. You notice, of course, that it said, "Let us make man in our own image." Elohim. In fact, the word Elohim is then paired with this verb bara, which means he created. So the word Elohim contains within it the idea of God the creator. What's the most amazing thing you've ever seen in nature? I'll bet if we went around the room, some have traveled more than others, but there's some amazing things right here in Iowa. How many of you have gone outside at night on a still night beside a cornfield and listened to it grow? Because you can hear it. My dad used to say when I was a kid, yeah, you can hear the corn grow. And I thought he was crazy until I listened. But some of us have traveled. What's the most amazing thing? Now, I know Lynn has been in Tanzania, so, you know, she's probably been to Ngorongoro Crater. She's seen Mount Kilimanjaro. Some of you have seen amazing mountains, lakes, and some of the things I've seen, and most of you probably haven't seen Mount Chimborazo on a clear morning when it's just massive in front of you and covered with snow. And you can't help but walk out the door and say, well, good morning, Mr. Chimbo. How are you today? Now, he's never answered me, but you often do that. And it's amazing because God created this, and there's an awesomeness in it. Some people talk about if you've ever stood at the Grand Canyon and you've seen it, when you experience a little bit of that awe in nature, you're experiencing Elohim, God the creator. Now, God created the sunrise, the sunset, the mountains, the trees, but the most amazing thing that God created was you. You. You are created in the image of God. And if I said amen now and left and we finished, that should be enough for a year. You just spend some time just thinking about that. Made in the image of God. The one who created the stars, the one who created the planet, the one who created water and air created you. Now, some of you may not be very impressed with yourself. Other people may not be impressed with you, but God created you. So never forget, as you look at that and you realize that's a great expression of his creative power, remember this, God doesn't do anything for no reason. God has a plan and we are a part of it. We are a part of it. And we are a part of it from the day we are born until the day we die. Life is sacred. So let's talk a little bit more about that name, Elohim. The days of the creation, did you pick that up? First it's light, then it's sky, then he gets to the seas and vegetation and says, and God said, that's good. Yeah. The sun and the moon, I think that's pretty awesome. And God said, yeah, that's good. Marine life, wing life, God said, yeah, that's good. That's good. I mean, you think about that. Sometimes we're awestruck by something. Somebody else may see it different. There was a mother and father who took their son to see the Grand Canyon. And they all three saw it for the first time. And if you've ever been there, you can just stand there and look. I mean, it's just amazing. And the mother that night saw the little boy writing in his journal, and she thought, oh, I wonder what he thought when he saw the Grand Canyon. So she, after he went to sleep, she opened his journal and read it, and inside it said, today I spit a mile. What amazes you may not amaze someone else, but isn't it amazing how different the world is? God said about all of this creation and all of the animals and everything, it's good, not bad. You go see the Mona Lisa or the Sistine Chapel, like a good old Englishman, not bad, not bad. But when God made man in his own image, he said, that's very good. Your image is very good. Do you feel special yet? You should, because you are. Now, that's an interesting phrase. Let us make a man in our own image, and so he did. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be made in the image of God? Now, some things, you're not omnipresent. You're not omniscient. I am the youngest of five, and when my parents were gone, I learned a phrase that I often used on my older brother and sisters, and it was, "When did God die and leave you in charge?" Well, you see, it didn't mean that. They were not omniscient, and they were not omnipotent, and they were not everywhere, all-knowing and all-powerful. No. Some people think that. But it did, originally, before the fall, it meant that we were without sin. And after Adam and Eve's disobedience, and we became sinful, and that passes on to every child ever born on the planet, except one who didn't have an earthly father, and his name was Jesus. Now it means things like intellect. We can think and grasp abstract concepts. No cow anywhere has ever thought, "I wondered if I jump off that diving board into that pool, will the water be warm or cold?" They don't. You want to argue with me? You can. I've gotten in big arguments about people's dogs and kitty cats. That's fine, but the Bible says they don't think in an abstract way. They see you and they love you. Yes, they do. Emotions is one, but, you know, if you're mean enough to your dog, the dog that loves you will bite you. We fall in love, and I don't know exactly how all that works, because, you see, sometimes we're talking about infinite ideas, and we have finite minds. How do we figure all that out? And a will. We choose to obey, we choose to disobey. And we are relational, my friends. We like to have good friends. We like to have someone who loves us, and we like to love one. We all want to be loved, and we want to love. All of that is a part of God making us, and the phrase is imago Dei. That's the Latin phrase, image of God. Look around. But now in your mind, don't just think about the people sitting here. Think about the best person you've ever known, made in the image of God. Think about the worst person you've ever known. That's a little harder, made in the image of God. Think about the person to the farthest right on the political spectrum, made in the image of God. Well, the farthest left, made in the image of God. Now, maybe they don't reflect it very well, but it's true. And long ago, I remember getting a spiritual spanking, sitting around a table with a bunch of other missionaries, and as you know, I know a lot of jokes. And so I told one about the wife of the then sitting president, and it was a good one, which I shall not repeat. And most everybody laughed. And one of the missionaries smiled and said, "Yes, Dan, made in the image of God." Wow. That is what I tell people today when they want to bicker and fight and argue. Donald Trump is made in the image of God. Like it or lump it. Joe Biden, made in the image of God. Zoran Mamdani, made in the image of God. Like it or lump it. God's word doesn't say we're supposed to like them. It says we're supposed to pray for them. I mean, he told Paul to pray for Nero. I think we can pray. Every person you'll ever meet is made in the image of God. And if we get this right, life gets pretty simple. If we get the creation story right, it's really not complex. You know, if you go on into Genesis chapter 2, of course, and God breaks it down a little bit more for you, and he says in verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. He brought her to the man, and Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. It's not complex. If we accept that God created the world, we then can naturally accept that God created us. And if we do, we suddenly don't hate our neighbor. We love our neighbor. You see how that's a natural consequence of believing the beginning of what God said? So first of all, the lesson today, Elohim, God, made, God the Creator, created you and everyone you know and everyone you'll ever meet in the image of God. For some of us, the hardest person to accept being made in his image is the man in the mirror. Because if we're honest, we know just what a scoundrel we are. And then we get married and our wives learn it pretty quick. I mean, you know, talked to a young man recently and his marriage had failed and he said, well, what do I do the next time around? And I said, well, it's easy. Ask your mom and dad to pick the next one. What, are your mind? I said, well, how'd it work out the first time? You know, and I know, I used to watch the Quechua Indians do this. You're going to marry Susanna. She's from the next village over. Never met. They'd never met. They met at the altar, and all these marriages worked. We probably marry for the wrong reasons, but if we begin to realize we're made in the image of God, probably our parents know us best, and then our spouses get to know us. But secondly, let's go on so I don't bore you to death with that idea, although it amazes me. Secondly, we're created for a purpose. So we're created in his image, we're created for a purpose. It wasn't just willy-nilly. And there he is, do whatever. No, Jeremiah 1:29, a verse many of you know very well. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Imagine that, plans. God had a plan. God has a plan and we're a part of it. And you're a part of his purpose. And his plans aren't to hurt you. His plans are to give you a hope and a future. So you are here and you're here for a reason. I don't know what that is. I asked myself that. I thought I had it figured out when I was 25, 35, and 45. Now I'm past 60, and I don't know. But here I am, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. Romans 8:28 goes on and fleshes that out a little bit more. And it says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Whoa, we're going right back to the image, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Have you ever had something happen and it's just totally annoying? You say, now what in the world? Why? And God is at work in that. God is at work in that. On Fridays when I get home from work after Sophie has supper, and for those of you who don't know, Sophie's 15, she's my special needs girl, and she loves to do certain things. Sophie thinks it is absolutely fascinating and delightful to sort laundry with Dad. Mom's not allowed in the room. So we get the laundry, we take it downstairs, we set up, we sort it, we do our thing, and she's just, elated. So we went downstairs, and I looked, and I saw my water heater was gurgling water right out of the top. It was blessing my floor with all kinds of water. Nah, it's a cement floor, so that doesn't matter. But it's like, now what am I going to do? Now you think, yeah, that's terrible. You'd have to take a cold shower. Oh, no, you don't have an idea about the complexity of this issue. Sophie does everything according to schedule. And if you do it according to schedule, you have a lovely life with Sophie. And if you don't, may heaven help you. Sophie takes a long, nice, hot shower before she goes to bed, and she sleeps well. And Sophie gets up in the morning, she takes another shower. And so I'm thinking, I can do cold water, I don't care. How do I limp through the weekend? And all of that, and we were sitting the next morning having breakfast, and Louisa looked at me and she says, you know, I've decided I'm going to be thankful this did not happen 2 weeks from now when you're gone for a week. What would I do? This is nice that it happened now. Do you think that's part of the purpose of God? There's a purpose in everything that he does. And there's a purpose in everything that he allows in your life. Some of the stuff that happens in our life is so terrible and painful and horrible, I could never explain to you what God's purpose would be in it. Never. But I think one day we'll understand it. Finally, you are created in his image. You are created with a purpose, but you're also created for him, not for yourself. You can't be all egocentric and it's all me, 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 me. It's not all about you. And Ephesians 1, 11 to 14, listen to what it says. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now, if you go back and read that with your pencil and your Bible and underline inheritance and underline to the praise of his glory, they both repeat two times. Now, God doesn't repeat stuff in Scripture just because. He does it because he knows we're not going to get it. But there's a third phrase there, in him. Everything revolves around Christ. So in him comes the inheritance, and in him we are made for the praise of his glory. It's for God's glory. It's for God's glory. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how slow you are, or how young you are, or how tall or skinny or fat, or I don't care. God has you on this planet for a purpose. Most of you, as I look around here, probably have grandchildren. I hope you're getting to the age where my grandmother got, well, she was 90, and she lived to be 98. I said, Grandma, how's it feel to be 90? She said, great. I said, really, why? And she said, well, because at 90, I don't care what anybody thinks about what I say. What are they going to do? So, I got some interesting letters from my grandmother. And she was quite forthright, and it was with all, do it. You have grandchildren, pour your life, tell them about Christ. Tell them when they're being stupid. Tell them. Because you see, God has a plan, and we're a part of it. But if you get off in the weeds off of that plan, it ain't going to work. Interstate 80 will never take you to Canada. You could go on the wrong, you got it, by the way, you're on the wrong road here. This is not going to work because God has a plan, and he has it because you're here for the praise of his glory. And that's the inheritance that you have. Now, I don't know what out of this muddle you can make, but here's the three things we talked about today, and I really hope you can remember those. And that Elohim, God the Creator, created you in the image of God. And every other person on this planet that you don't like. Secondly, God the Creator created you for a purpose. You are not here by accident. And neither is anyone else. And three, God created you for him. You are his. And when you look around at this creation that Elohim put here, I hope you can say, like I always think of George Beverly Shea singing these words, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. How great thou art. I hope when you see it, you can say, how great you are, and Lord, you have me here for a purpose. So never forget it. Elohim, God the Creator, has a plan, and we are a part of it. You're created in His image, created for a purpose, and created for Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you that there are no accidents. You put us here for a reason. Now help us to understand it, Lord, and help us to walk in accordance to your will. And help us to treat this week every person we meet as image bearers. Help us to love the unlovable, Lord, and probably help us to love ourselves the way you see us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you would repeat with me, as I told you, the Apostles' Creed came from the Council of Nicaea, the Nicene Creed. Join a billion more believers around the planet. You know where the fastest growing church in the world is today? Iran. There'll be some Iranians today who will likely be repeating this because they're learning. So let's say it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let's repeat the words of the Lord's Prayer together that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And now, if the musicians will come forward, we're going to sing His Name is Wonderful.
Thank you.
be to God.
They still got the Christmas tree. Okay.